¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Marine spirits are responsible for the death of many believers throughout the history of the church. Satan came into the earth through Adam's sin. The earth and the waters were affected by the fall. The waters are connected to judgment upon Egypt, judgment upon Pharaoh, and the deliverance of God's people. The Nile was turned to blood. We also know that the waters are connected to the underworld. There are large chasms and trenches under the oceans. And there are also spiritual entities that rule these regions. There's nowhere these guys are going to be able to hide. There's another translation of this passage. The shades tremble beneath the earth. The waters and their denizens are afraid. Before him, the primeval giants writhe under the ocean in their prison.
Hello, citizen. This content creator discusses controversial topics. To properly engage in this content, an open mind is required. There's something very strange about this man. The words he says, the things he does. Is he perhaps a glitch in the system? Is he a rogue federal agent? Is he actually alive? Superstitious, but he is a little stitious.
Percent of the Earth's surface is covered by water. So, what if Satan decided in his rebellion to build a power base in the waters? Think about it. If you're like me and you believe that there are spiritual entities and cryptids and hybrids and fallen angels and Nephilim and demons and disembodied spirits of demons and all sorts of just other spirits in general physically here on the earth that you could actually sort of run into or make contact with if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time or the right place at the right time. If you believe that that is a reality, they've got to be somewhere. We wonder where Bigfoot is. We wonder where Dogman is. We say they can shapeshift and disappear into the woods and do all these types of things, become spiritual and then physical, but still bound to the earth in some form. Why wouldn't these other spirits and entities operate in the same way? The ones that we actually have biblical testimony of. Satan's secretariat is in the heavenlies, where the powers and principalities sort of supervise satanic oppression of territories and cities and nations on the earth, but his operational base could be in the waters. Why don't we explore the ocean with the same veracity that the elite want to explore space, for instance? Why can't we recover certain shipwrecks? Why can't we get down there and do the things that we want to do? Is there a certain danger to that place that is more than just physical? Since the foundation of the earth is on the water, according to the Psalms, and the whole earth was founded upon the waters, maybe Satan also decided that the best place to pitch his kingdom's power base is in the waters, because, newsflash, he does like to counterfeit everything that God does. The waters are mentioned at the very beginning of creation, Genesis 1:2, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. One translation calls it the roaring deep. The earth was without form. It was chaotic and joined by darkness, this watery deep. In Job, the Psalms, and some of the prophet books, these forces are understood as being connected to entities that are at enmity with God. They are controlled by powers that resist the power of God. God represents order, light, life, love, and creation. The chaotic deep represents disorder, darkness, destruction, and death. The Bathic Sea, the wild waters, is that which God contains in creation. God gathered the waters together into seas, and he contained them. He set boundaries and commanded the dry land to appear. The word that most accurately describes this action appears to be muzzle. God muzzled the rebellious powers in creation. These powers are identified in Scripture as Leviathan, which of course we've all heard of, Rahab, and obviously the dragon. God's power in creation is used to restrict these rebellious spirits and make the earth habitable for man. All of these things are limited by what God allows them to do and how powerful God allows them to be. And make no mistake, because I discussed this with somebody else before I even recorded this episode, I'm not saying that water is evil. They were under the impression that maybe this would be confusing because it would imply that water itself is evil, the ocean is evil, the rivers are evil, and that's not it at all. So no, water itself is not the problem. The issue is that there are malevolent spiritual powers potentially controlling the seas, or at a minimum populating them in a very big way. But we know that water in the creation narrative of Genesis 2 is the very basis for fertility. The ocean and the fresh water are contrasted, though. One is misused by a hostile spiritual power, and the other is provided by a caring God as a sort of life-giving necessity. There are powers linked to the waters. These are often called marine demons or marine spirits, and they can still affect the land when men invite them through conscious or sort of unconscious pacts and decisions. And the coastal areas are also vulnerable to these spirits, and churches in these areas are sometimes said to need to be aware of these marine demonic activities. And some believe that God's power is needed today in particular to muzzle them, just as God did in the beginning, and that those involved in spiritual warfare in these areas, in these coastal or island areas, should not overlook the key component that these marine demons are to Satan's kingdom. Psalm 104:24-26 says, O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships. There is that Leviathan whom thou hast made to play therein. And the marine kingdom is one of the most varied and spectacular kingdoms created by God, every bit as insanely awesome as the earthbound world. And there's an amazing beauty and diversity within it that we are still trying to understand. So once again, I just want to reiterate, this kingdom also represents God's wisdom. All creation does. They also regulate seasons and weather patterns. Man was given dominion over the marine kingdom because it is also part of our gift. Genesis 1:26 says, And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over all the earth. Satan desires to control the marine kingdom, and he has a host of spirits that are under his command that assist him in kind of doing this. We have these demons that operate from the waters, the oceans, the seas, the lakes, and the rivers. There is a whole class of demons that operate from the water, and these spirits represent witchcraft and lust and perversion and murder and death, pride, rebellion, destruction, and greed. These are like the primary things that these aquatic demons represent. And since we know that water is a symbol of life, there can be no life apart from water, then it's not surprising, once again, that the demons would pervert this truth and use the waters to bring death and destruction. God also uses water to bring judgment, as he did upon Pharaoh, Psalm 24:2. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. The earth is connected to the seas. The seas affect the earth in many natural ways. So, perhaps the devil has also devised a plan to capture the earth through the seas. Why would the devil not devise a plan to capture the heart of cities, for instance? Many cities in America are strongholds of perversion and violence and drug addiction, witchcraft, and rebellion. And many of these cities that are known for these types of things are actually located on large bodies of water, and they include cities like San Francisco, LA, New York, Miami, New Orleans, even Chicago. These are just American cities, but then you got the international cities, and just to name a few, we're talking about cities like Amsterdam, Rio de Janeiro, Istanbul, Cape Town, Mumbai. These are all examples of cities that are said to be controlled by marine spirits or marine demons. These cities are gateway cities. They include ports and harbors and major waterways. And because of this, there's going to be a great degree of spiritual traffic flowing through these gateways, pardon the pun. There has been violence, blood, murder, rape, slavery, and thievery within our oceans throughout time. Thousands of slaves were thrown overboard during the slave trade. We have Davy Jones' locker, piracy. Wealth, including gold and silver, has been transported across the oceans after lands were plundered. Literal blood money. Money is the root of all evil. Illegal drugs have also been transported across the sea. Regions like the Great Lakes continue to be a major point of contention that nobody wants to talk about, specifically in human and child trafficking, as well as fentanyl. Distribution. Bloodshed causes defilement, and many waters have been defiled by blood, which gives marine spirits strength to operate. There have been many covenants made with spirits that are connected to the waters. Isaiah 28:17-18 says, "Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place, and the covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand." Waterways are gateways to cities and nations, and Satan will always try to possess the gates to a city. He will place some of his strongest demons at the gates of a city, just as he will the gates of our heart. When I say a city, I'm not speaking in parable or metaphor here. I'm literally saying a city, an actual city. Of course, he's going to want to traffic that. Of course, he's going to want to control the gates, the entrance and exit points, the points where there are stronger souls and spirits and hearts, and the places where there are weaker ones. He's going to want to know all of these types of things and control it. Gates control the flow in and out of a region. And just as we operate as a sort of organized unit, so too does the demon kingdom in their military capacity and in their control capacity. That you can think of them as sort of a rampant demonic government that is constantly messing with us and trying new ways to control us and new ways to exploit us, just as the human governments that we have placed above ourselves. Where do you think they learned it from? The gates are going to be one of the main places to do that. When you have extensive waterworks flowing in and out of cities, some argue that this is also extensive openings that allow demonic activity into these cities. And you might not agree with this. This is a new thing for me too. I'm researching this. This is something that I found. But regardless, gates control the flow in and out of a region. We are called to possess the gates of the enemy. We can command the gates to open for the King of Glory to enter. Psalm 24:7 says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in." Waters and seas represent that which is secret and hidden and mysterious. There's many enigmas and mysteries and conspiracies and secrets hidden beneath the waters. So people are often also attracted to bodies of water to perform secret rituals and magic, especially to magic that involves the moon and magic that involves the sea. Okay. We also know the tales of many spirits and creatures that are represented by these spirits in the waters. It's the nature of these entities to remain secret and hidden. They're often very hard to discern and detect, and they're often very fast, very flighty, semi-invisible, and capable of great violence, and like to typically eat human beings. Many of these spirits take other forms. They take the forms of sea serpents and fish, amphibians, crocodiles, crabs, perhaps, squid, frog. I mean, you can just think about it. Demons can possess the animal kingdom, and so they probably do at times possess these entities. There's also spirits that appear as half fish and half man, mermaids, and other hybrids. This is all part of this concept, this realm. And this is because these spirits seek to intermingle with men and corrupt society. The sirens and the mermaids will call sailors, or they'll call people near the sea or on the sea to come and love them and admire their beauty and allow themselves to be pleasured by these creatures, only to be dragged to their death and consumed in the nether realm. Okay? There's also reports of many casting out of mind-binding and sort of mind-controlling spirits that have the form of squids or like the octopus. These spirits are said to have tentacles that wrap around the minds of people, hindering them from thinking clearly.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Then you have the concept of the Lovelock monsters and entities like Cthulhu, which is a priest of the deep, okay? A sort of god priest of the deep, whatever. This can't be all simply coincidental. These spirits cause confusion, and they help blind people from seeing the truth. They're very powerful entities, and those that deal with them say that they often require a fast to break free from. There are also spirits of lust in the water and perversion that can often take the form of frogs. Leviathan, of course, takes the form of like a large sea serpent, perhaps the most horrifying creature on the planet if we ever catch a glimpse of him somehow. Amos 9:3 says, "And though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel, I will search and take them out thence. And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence will I command the serpent, and he shall bite them." Job 12:22, "There is nothing hidden from the Lord. He discovers the deep things out of darkness. He discovereth deep things out of darkness, and bringeth out to light the shadow of death." Job 34:22, "The dark deep is as light to the Lord. There is no darkness nor shadow of death where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves." Evil cannot hide from God. Marine spirits and their operations are not hidden from his eyes. Isaiah 27:1 says, "In that day the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea." This is not referring to a natural creature, most likely. I don't think God is angry with whales or megalodon. Leviathan is a spiritual entity. Job 41:31 says, "He maketh the deep to boil like a pot. He maketh the sea like a pot of ointment." Job 41:34. If you haven't noticed, Job talks a lot about Leviathan. It says, "He beholdeth all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride." God has promised a day in which the king of pride, Leviathan, will be crushed. Leviathan is a proud ruling spirit in the marine kingdom. The marine kingdom and its demons will be judged. There are demons in the ocean, it would appear, a great many of them, and a great many powerful ones. This judgment that is coming for them is probably going to come through us, the perfected, purified, redeemed church, okay? Not as we are now. The people of Christ is what I mean, okay? We are living in the day in which God is exposing the realm of Satan's kingdom, I think. It's becoming more and more visible every day. And I think a part of this battle is going to be marine spirits that are being judged and cast out. They often have control over entire families and cities and nations that are going to have to be broken, and therefore the demons are going to lose their grip. Leviathan and Rahab are considered these very arrogant sea monsters, and they are their own thing. But they have these multitudes of demons that help them resist the purpose of God. They have armies of demons at their disposal. And we know that God is against prideful feelings. He has determined to judge these spirits and rebuke them in their pride. They seem to have a unique affiliation with pride, okay? Psalm 119:21 says, "Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments." Marine spirits also seem to hate the sound of praising God. They hate fasting, and they also appear to hate self-humbling. Fasting, prayer, and praise are powerful weapons, it would appear, in challenging and defeating these marine spirits. Psalm 29:3 says, "The voice of the Lord is upon the waters, and the God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters." So, it's important to know that God rules the sea through his power. He rules the floods. Although Satan desires to rule every part of God's creation, God does indeed have ultimate authority. So there is no kingdom on the earth that is unable to be penetrated by our Lord God. Amen. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. That's Psalm 95, 4 through 5. The only right that Satan has is that which is given to him by man. So all demons that are operating in the waters still have to submit to the lordship of Jesus, just as Satan does, as a matter of fact. God has established the boundaries of the waters. Remember when we said that in the beginning? He has sort of established, he has muzzled the waters. He has divided the sea by his power. He has authority over the proud, over Rahab and Leviathan and these entities of the deep, over every rebellious force operating in the deep. The word divideth, when we're talking about dividing the seas here, means to toss violently and suddenly. God divides the sea with his power. He disrupts what seems impossible to move. He interrupts the deep. God, in a way, it's like it showcases his ability to be even in the darkest, densest, most highly inhospitable regions of this earth. There's nowhere he cannot see you. There's nowhere you can hide. There's no skating by. So God has compassed the waters with these bounds, and he's placed limits on the sea. He has shut up the sea with doors, according to Job 38:8. Or who shut up the sea with doors, what when it break forth as if it had issued out of the womb? And then even Jesus descended into the lower parts of the earth. We know that hell is said to be beneath the earth and beneath the seas, and Jesus descended into hell that he might fill all things. All realms are now subject to his power and authority, and this includes the deep. But Babylon the Great, where does it sit? Upon many waters. Revelation 17:1 says it sits upon many waters. "Come hither, I will shew unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." And Babylon is responsible for the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs. Revelation 17:6 says, "And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." Marine spirits are responsible for the death of many believers throughout the history of the church. And marine spirits themselves hate true believers and will actively seek to eliminate them. The book of Genesis has a lot to say about the waters. there are waters above, for instance, that are separated from waters below through a firmament called the heavens. And God said in Genesis 1:6, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters and let it divide the waters from the waters. So God divided the waters and he created the heavens, and he did this on the second day. And then God gathered the waters below and he called them the seas on the third day. And then God commanded the waters to bring forth abundantly, and man was given dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air. But man lost his dominion through sin. Satan came into the earth through Adam's sin. The earth and the waters were affected by the fall. So God used the waters to bring judgment upon the world through the flood. And the first 8 chapters of Genesis speak much about the waters. If you're wondering how important the waters are, just go check. The waters are mentioned again in Exodus chapters 7 and 8, 14 and 15. There the waters are connected to judgment upon Egypt, judgment upon Pharaoh, and the deliverance of God's people. The Nile was turned to blood. Thus, the waters do have an extremely significant place in the first 2 books of the Bible. This is obvious to see. Water is actually mentioned 396 times in the King James Bible. Waters is mentioned 287 times. So you got water in the singular almost 400 times, and waters in the plural almost 300 times. It's a pretty important concept. We also know that the waters are connected to the underworld. There are large chasms and trenches under the oceans, and there are also spiritual entities that rule these regions. We know, of course, God is the Lord of all. He is the Lord of the depths, and he rules and commands the deep, even though they play as if they do. But Job 26:5 through 6 says, dead things are formed from under the waters and the inhabitants thereof. Hell is naked before him, and destruction hath no covering. Just a reminder that there's nowhere these guys are going to be able to hide. There's another translation of this passage. The shades tremble beneath the earth. The waters and their denizens are afraid. There is another translation. Before him, the primeval giants writhe under the ocean in their prison. That's the Moffat translation, which is really interesting. So the Jerusalem translation, the shades tremble beneath the earth, the waters and their denizens are afraid. The Moffat translation, before him, the primeval giants writhe under the ocean in their prison. And then Job 26:5 through 6, hell is naked before him, and destruction hath no covering. So we've got some translations, and they basically just keep doubling down on each other. The scripture also not only shows that Sheol is under the sea, but also names one of its inhabitants, Abaddon, who is naked with no covering before the Lord. We also see how Pharaoh was destroyed in the Red Sea, thereby crushing the evil entity over those waters. Pharaoh and the Egyptians were under the control of marine spirits. God, of course, hardened Pharaoh's heart. This is one of the most amazing stories ever told. And marine spirits, since they are very obstinate and proud, may have taken a part in this hardening of Pharaoh's heart. It took a supernatural miracle anointing to break the power of Egypt. Look at what God did to free his people. This was no ordinary thing. When you actually really think about it, let's think about it for a second, what God did to the Egyptians to free his people. At war with Egypt, this was not just a human kingdom. Egypt in those days was overrun by demons, false gods, and most definitely marine demons, because the Nile, the Egyptians were a sort of, they were on the ground, obviously, on solid ground, but they were kind of a marine people, okay? They were deeply involved with the rivers. They were deeply involved with the sea. They had stuff going on, and they knew it, and everybody knew it, okay? That's why it was such a big deal that the Nile was turned to blood, because the Nile provided sustenance for them, and was basically the icon of their civilization, besides like the pyramids. But all those ancient Egyptian gods that we see mucking about in those ancient times, most likely were in open war against God while he was freeing his people. And that's why God just didn't snap his fingers and out went the people. This was a great conflict. Israel was saved through water. Pharaoh was destroyed in water. Isaiah 51:10 says, "Art thou not it which hath dried the sea, the waters of the great deep, that hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransomed to pass over?" Pharaoh is directly connected to the waters and rivers. Ezekiel 29:3, "Speak and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great dragon that lieth in the midst of his rivers, which hath said, my river is my own, and I have made it for myself." The dragon, the Egyptian kingdom, the pharaohs had the serpent on their headpieces. They worshipped the cobras, the snakes, all of this kind of stuff. This was a kingdom with perhaps physical gods walking amongst men, at a minimum influencing them in great spiritual ways, which were unshakable, it would seem, for man alone. I just watched Exodus, that movie with Exodus, it's like gods and something or other, and it's that story, and they made Christian Bale Moses, okay? But he doesn't have a staff, he leads with a sword.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
When I watched the movie, honestly, dude, 3 stars out of 10. It's terrible, terrible film. There's just so many weird things with it because they try to make God look like a thing that's only really important to Moses. But there are a couple scenes that are really interesting. For instance, when he goes up to the mountain and he gets the Ten Commandments and he comes back and they're already worshiping another god down on the ground, that's probably because they are used to worshiping 2 different gods that they had seen walking about in Egypt, right? That's what I would assume. I always wondered why, after witnessing all these miracles, they were so quick to forget God and start worshiping Baal or the cow or whatever. But it makes sense when you consider the fact that those gods were probably very visible and present in Egypt, from whence they came. So yes, Pharaoh and Egypt are deeply connected to waters and rivers and the gods and demons therein. Pharaoh is a symbol of bondage and control. He was proud and arrogant, like Leviathan. So these spirits controlled Pharaoh and Egypt to put God's people in bondage, to put Israel in bondage. God's deliverance of Israel came through breaking the power of Rahab and Leviathan and drowning Pharaoh in the Red Sea. We see again the connection between salvation, deliverance, and the breaking of the power of marine spirits. When you consider all the death that comes so close to the sea and the ocean and stuff like that, I'm thinking about like the colonization of South America and the Caribbean and the horrible massacres and purging campaigns of like Spain and the Portuguese and the British and all of that kind of stuff. When you think about that too, the things that the East India Trading Company did to people, then it also makes you wonder if we will see again a sort of great revival and special salvation that will come to regions that experience deliverance from marine spirits in the end times. Will the island people and the coastal regions experience they'll experience the same salvation, but perhaps an even an even more aggressive blossoming of their faith as their shackles come loose, if indeed these spirits impact them in a way that we don't really understand. Zechariah 10:11 says, "And he shall pass through the sea with affliction, and shall smite the waves and the sea, and all the deeps of the river shall dry up." Why would God pass through the sea in judgment? Why would he need to smite the waves and dry up the deeps? Is there perhaps something there that he's angry with? It would appear that God is angry with these entities that are operating from the waters, and he continually reminds them that he has a special judgment awaiting them. Isaiah 42:10 says, "Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof." The islands, according to this passage, appear to have a special place in the heart of God. Marine spirits and demons tend to be strong in island nations. And this is obvious because islands are surrounded by water. Many of these places, the first peoples of these places worship water gods, and some still do. Like in Hawaii, I lived there for a while. They're still fully on board with water spirits there. Okay, this is not something that's new. A lot of these island cultures are like that. The islanders sort of entered into covenants in historical times with marine spirits and gave these demons legal access to kind of control the islands through worship and praise and sacrifices. And then that all eventually just became habit and trend, and it was passed down and down and down. Many island chains have strong witchcraft roots as well. You can think about all of the Caribbean style magic, the Madagascar magic, the magic of people islands around the world is very unique and powerful. And we also have island chains like the West Indies and Indonesia, the Philippines. These all have very strong marine demon and spirit influences. But the islands are commanded to praise. Isaiah 42:12, "Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands." So God will probably use the church in the islands to help break Leviathan's power in the end times. Praise will be a sort of weapon to discomfort and destroy the hold of marine spirits, I believe. Revelation 16:4 through 5 says, "And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angels of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and was and shall be, because thou hast judged thus." Okay, Revelation 8:10 through 11 says, "And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter." The apocalypse, or Revelation, reveals God's judgment on the waters. I think this is both physical, the waters physical, and also sort of a metaphor. You know, I think that people who partake in the ways of the waters are not going to find sustenance any longer. It's going to become bitter and non-filling for them. But it's interesting that there is an angel of the waters. God has angels that are literally assigned to the waters. Why does God judge the waters with angels? Why does he need to? Most likely because there are demons hiding within. So what evil entities and activities cause judgment to come upon the waters? Is it just the fact that they are there? I wonder how many are stuck there. Do they attach themselves to sea creatures and wash up upon land? Because I personally don't believe that demons are everywhere all at once. I think that they sort of have to arrive somewhere. Similar with angels. We hear stories of how angels become preoccupied. Was it Michael or was it Gabriel who got stuck with the Prince of Persia? I can't remember now. I think it was Michael, right? It was Michael who got occupied by the Prince of Persia and Michael, right? Yes, Michael in Daniel 10. Yep. "The Prince of Persia has been fighting against me for 21 days. Then Michael, one of the most important angels, came to help me. Yeah. Like, that's crazy stuff right there, okay? So we do have certain instances like that. And I think that that is indicative of beings that are perhaps stuck in the ocean, like demons and entities and lowercase g gods and fallen angels who are stuck in the waters. And I wonder if God uses angels to keep them stuck there a lot of the time. Matthew 4:15-16, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness and saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. This was a fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy because Jesus actually came to the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. You guys will probably remember this story. I've talked about it before in my episode about how Jesus was the first vampire hunter. But the people in that region were in great darkness and affliction. Zebulun was to be a haven of ships and to border Zidon. Genesis 49:13 says, Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and he shall be for a haven of ships, and his border shall be unto Zidon. Zebulun was also to draw from the abundance of the seas and from treasures hidden in the sand. Deuteronomy 33:19 says that they shall call the people unto the mountain. There shall they offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall suck of the abundance of the seas and of treasures hid in the sand. The sea, as we can see, was created to be a blessing in this case. The land of Zebulun had now come under a sort of curse, and this is because the people of God did not obey, and they eventually went into bondage to the demons that now run their lands and have taken the benefits of the blessing that God bestowed upon the people. This area had become a stronghold of marine demons and other types. Jesus then goes to this stronghold and he begins to cast out devils and heal the sick. He rebuked the winds on the sea and he came walking on the waters. Jesus demonstrated the authority of the kingdom of God over the sea and over the spirits that attempted to control the sea by doing these things. He rebuked the literal wind and the literal sea on his way to this region. Mark 4:39 says, and he arose and he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, STFU. No, I'm just kidding. But he said, peace, be still, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. It was there that Jesus delivered the demoniac who was possessed by Legion. The demons entered the swine after leaving this man. And where did they go? Well, we know the story. The swine then ran down a cliff. They dove off a cliff head first and they plummeted into the sea. And Legion is said to be how many demons? 20,000 or something? How many demons is Legion? Let me check real quick. How many demons is Legion? Often interpreted as 2,000 to over 6,000, and they inhabited a swine of 2,000, a herd of 2,000 swine. So there could have been more demons than just one apiece. Who knows? Regardless, it's very interesting where they went, in my opinion. I've always thought that story was fascinating, and in this capacity, on this topic, it's even more so. It's also reasonable to conclude that the water spirits that possessed the demon-possessed man that met Jesus as soon as he came out of the boat on the other side, because they recognized who Jesus was. So they pleaded through the demoniac that Jesus should cast them out into the herd of swine, and then they caused the herd of swine to quite literally run violently into the sea. And in nature, pigs actually don't like water that much, so it was the water spirits that chased them into the water and killed, not chased them, but essentially piloted them into the water and killed them. These spirits that possess this man are normally quite violent spirits that don't really let go of their captives very easily. So it would appear that according to this story, we can see that not only are these entities very powerful, as they appear to be able to manipulate the winds and also operate from the waters and possess and steal blessings and all of this kind of stuff, they're kind of a big deal. They're kind of something to be concerned about. The swine, of course, perished in the waters, but the water spirits went back into their habitat, which is the sea. Water spirits, normally, they put up this great resistance to, what's it called when you, not excommunication, exorcism. Sorry, everybody. It's been a long week. What day is it? Monday? Anyway, water demons are pretty stubborn demons, it would appear. Even Job was complaining to his friends and to God after his affliction and suffering and said at one point, "What am I, a sea or a sea serpent that you have to set a guard over me?" This is Job 7:12. Job understood that there is a demonic force called sea serpent that basically is a water demon. Jesus understood the manifestation of water spirits. There are occasions when they bring about raging storms in the sea, and unless people discern their manifestation and exercise their authority to rebuke them, they seem to be able to cause tragedy and death. And I want to talk a little bit more about this Jesus telling the sea to calm down, because it's kind of an interesting story when you think about it. Jesus exercised his authority upon the sea and rebuked the spirit behind the wind and the waters, according to Matthew 8:26. But he said to them, "Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?" Implying that we could do the same. Then he arose and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. If it was a natural godly storm, and this is just a question of you know, what do you think? It's just me asking a question. But if it was actually a natural storm, a godly storm, would Jesus have rebuked it? Because then wouldn't it have been something from his father that his father sent? So is there a hint here that perhaps the weather was being influenced by demonic spirits who wanted to sort of be a thorn in Jesus's heel? It would appear, though, that he knew that the storm was an evil manifestation of water spirits or something that was sent there to hinder him in a way. You could also argue that this was just a demonstration of what faith is, and that he needed to show people the power of true faith and the faith that they should have in him. It could have been all for that, but it's also interesting to go down the path that perhaps these things can sometimes impact the weather. When you talk about areas like Bermuda Triangle, the Michigan Triangle, in Acts 16, there's an interesting story about Paul, and he casts out a water spirit named Python.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Acts 16:16, as we're going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to you the way of salvation." And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. The original Greek phrase translated spirit of divination is pneuma pythonos, which literally means spirit of Python, the Greek god housed in the oracle that allowed for fortune telling. In other verses later in the Gospels, like Mark 3:11 and many others, we see references to unclean spirits too, but they're not using the same words, these other unclean spirits that we can see possessing people. The Greek from which those unclean spirits derives is pneuma akatharton, okay? Meaning demon or daemon. So this reference to Python in Acts is not a general usage to explain demons or spirits in general. It's a specific reference to Python, the water demon. Here's something that's kind of interesting before we close this out. I want to go back to the ancient rivers and their gates things. We know that the ancient rivers had gates a lot of the time, and these gates served to protect the city from invasion. The river was an access point into the city. We know that the Jordan River had to be dried up before the Israelites could cross through, right? Rivers are boundaries. They can limit access. But we can command the gates to be opened and the palaces on the other side dissolved. What do I mean by this? Emmanuel Kor, who is a, I believe he's Nigerian. He's a Nigerian minister, and he gave a testimony of how something strange happened in Nigeria that has to do with this. He was sent to destroy a river shrine that was built for one of these water demons, these marine demons. And after crossing the river, he said he commanded the palaces in the river to be dissolved. He says, those who have dealt with sea demons often mention the queen of the sea, the queen of the coast. The demons are said to have a palace in the sea. Command the gate of that river to open, and the palace will dissolve. After you have dissolved the palace in the sea, command the seven heads of Leviathan to be broken. A palace is a castle, right? It's like a citadel. It's a place of safety for the prince or for the king. It is usually an elevated place of protection and comfort, okay? And we need to arise and destroy the palaces in the sea, and the rivers is what Emmanuel Kor is saying. Jeremiah 6:5 also says, arise and let us go by night and let us destroy her palaces. Ancient rivers have had many ceremonies performed over them by idolaters and witches. There are bodies of water, extensive bodies of water that are contaminated. Many, many rivers have been dedicated to demons. God warned against Pharaoh and his rivers, and guess what happened? Judgment was released upon them. Pharaoh is called that great dragon that lieth in the rivers. The Nile River is the longest in the world and one of the most contaminated rivers in the world, simply because of the war with God that the marine demons are waging. When you think about it, all these things that destroy God's creation or hinder his glory to be seen, are these things evil? Are these evil demonstrations by demons? Are these things that these actual beings are out here causing to happen? This is just kind of something new. I had been wanting to dig into marine demons. I didn't know that this was an area of study that people actually engaged in on a big level. So, you know, I actually read a book for this by John Eckhart. It's called Marine Demons, and I also read some college papers. One of my favorites was by this guy, Daniel Debo. It's called The Water Spirit Kingdom. I was surprised to see that this was an actual area of study and not just like some random concept. So it was a fun thing. Let me know what you guys think. I'll talk to you guys later. The life is in the blood.